And I want to invite you now, if you get your Bibles in hand, you're going to get a chance and see some of the things that we have been enjoying. And also, if you could, please consider coming and joining us next Sunday. It's November the 15th, actually. We're going to be having, once again, our Harvest of Hope. It's going to be our celebration, our regathering, encouraging people once again, thanking everybody for coming back to church, the importance of that being all of us and enjoying what God is doing in our lives and together. I think it's going to be wonderful. Hope that we consider seeing you there. It's good that we get a chance to hear. That's why we pray too. Heard a cute little story about an 84-year-old man. He was walking down the sidewalk. He had this very young woman with him. The doctor that just gave him an examination 6 months ago said, "My, Mitch, you look amazing. What are you doing?" He noticed this beautiful person hanging on his arm. And he said, "Well, doc, I just took your advice. You said to get yourself a hot mama and be joyful." He said, Mitch, I didn't tell you that. I said you have a heart murmur and to be careful." So that's important for us. Let's hear what God has to say to us this morning. We've been in a series that's entitled Harvest of Hope. Harvest of Hope. And today we're looking at hope in action. What have we learned during a pandemic? Some important areas that we want to take a look at together and consider. And we're going to start with Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. God's word says this, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, this is an encouraging word to the nation of Israel. We're believing it's an encouraging word to us. Hope-filled promise for the world, but a hope-filled promise for you and for us as a community of believers in Orange County. We've learned a few things, have we not, with this pandemic? It's been interesting to see what's happening, and I'm always intrigued to see who has hope even in the midst of some of these most challenging days. People who have Christ as their Savior always have hope. I don't know how people make it in this day and age, going through what you and I go through, and not have Jesus. At least we will always have hope. It's kind of like, can you imagine on the day that the followers of Christ saw Jesus just crucified on Calvary's cross, hope was dashed, everything lost, and then all of a sudden everything turned around because of the resurrection. The tomb was empty. So in other words, there is no hopeless situations anymore, especially for those who are in Christ. But we've been learning some things with this pandemic, going through it together. For some, it could be something simple as learning to be parents and teachers at the same time. That is not for the faint at heart, is it? For others, we've learned doing home projects with your spouse is not always the best idea. So others have discovered that it's actually spending too much time with people we love is not always the best thing to do. It takes a little bit of adjustments and patience. And now for some of us, we've discovered that it's actually okay to go into a bank with a mask and nobody thinks anything different about that. Well, can you imagine, since COVID was announced, some of the scenarios that have happened here at Hope Chapel, that have taken place here, it was in March the 15th, 2020, that we had our last in-person service right here in the chapel. It was a great Sunday. Church was full, both services, 9 a.m., 11 o'clock. We had water baptism. We had our discipleship class graduation, our Operation Solid Lives on that same day. And then the very next day, the governor and our nations seemed like it literally locked down. It was right there that we had our first online services at 9 and 11 on March the 22nd. Went on for 12 weeks, and then all of a sudden, opening came because the COVID virus seemed to be lightening in Orange County, and we were permitted to open our doors in 25% seating capacity, 9 and 11 o'clock. We had people sign up for seating arrangements online, and then all of a sudden, things started to make a turn, and the governor put a mandate, no more indoor services. Well, it was from that time that we decided right there on July the 19th that we were going to be permitted to go outdoors, and we discovered our outdoor service in our church parking lot. We call it the Hub, Hope United Back Lot. And people were gathering at 10 a.m. We continue to have our 9 and 11, and I want to thank you. So many of you have been continuing with us for the 9 and 11 o'clock. And the beautiful thing that's happened, discovering that it's been increasing in attendance. We continue to have our prayer wall. We continue to have our social elements. We continue to play safe distances as well as requiring masks, requiring to have temperature check. People are feeling comfortable. People are excited for community. So we discovered right there, October the 11th, we have invested in renting a large tent, 40 by 100, where our seating capacity is full every Sunday at our 10 a.m. Hub service. We're thrilled about that, and we've discovered and titled it Harvest of Hope, inviting people, inviting you, we trust, one day soon, will come and join us at 10 a.m. So with that, I just now want to talk about some further key things that we've discovered during this pandemic, going through this pandemic. There's four of them. I want to start now. First of all, we have learned that the church doesn't need a building to be the church. That's interesting to note. The early church learned this lesson early on. And I have Acts chapter 8, verse 1. I want to read to you. It says, "And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Let's move on down to verse 4. Can you join me there? "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word." Another translation says they preached the good news about Jesus Christ wherever they went. They discovered they were meeting in the temple, but the church discovered they didn't need the temple. They didn't need the synagogue. They didn't even need the apostles. Everywhere they went, they were preaching the word. So the influence of the church multiplied. That's the thing we've discovered. It's amazing because the influence of the church was not shut down, maybe physically, but the kingdom of God continued to advance. Wasn't that great? It continues to be exciting as well. How did that happen? Well, we were discovering that people were working on their family relationships, working on their marital relationships, the kingdom dynamics that went on in the family. We had a series on how that the church is the home. It was a great season for our church and you who are gathering online. The conversations that took place with the unchurched was amazing. We were discovering how easy it was to talk with people, and the pandemic was naturally an indicator and a great segue into conversation that we had multiple digital influences that were increasing in our church and the way that we were expressing ourselves. It was never so easy to invite people to church as it is still today. People may never come into an in-person church service, but I'm trusting that you continue to just invite your friends on Facebook, just invite those friends conversations and encourage people with the links to say, hey, jump on, see what God's doing through Hope Chapel. It's pretty outstanding. And there's a great willingness to discuss spirituality we've discovered. So we've seen that the church doesn't need a building to be the church. There's been great things that are happening. Really, we could say that Isaiah 43, God is really doing a new thing. The old paradigms, the old methods have been shifting with our culture that's changing, but the gospel, the word of God is still true. I'm so thrilled about that. God is doing bigger things than we could ever have preconceived it happening. It's amazing what's taking place. So I want to encourage myself. I constantly ask, will I, a part of the church, be willing to let God do something new? Or are we going to want to see things happen the same way we had before, demanding to go back to the same way? See, culture changes, but the Word of God doesn't change, but we need to make sure that the church becomes still relevant. It's important. It can become irrelevant because we're not willing to engage with the culture that we're having. So paradigms change. We have methodology that does change and engaging the way the culture that changes too. We're seeing that. It's been exciting to learn that. So what am I referring to when it talks about other changes? Once again, let me just remind, increased digital platform of our ministries that are going on with meetings, with teachings, with discipleship classes, and now with Sunday. So we're reaching people through technology, basically the unchurched. People are receiving Christ. People are letting us know, even receiving Bibles. And we're engaging a culture more than ever before. And that's our heart's desire, isn't it? To reach culture that we would have never been able to reach. So our church attendance, with both in person and online, is larger than it has ever been. And we are interested in numbers. God's Word is interested in numbers. That's why the Word of God counted even on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:41. It says that over 3,000 people were added to the church. Why would the Bible even be interested in those numbers? Well, God's interested in every soul, and so are we. So what does that mean to our local church? Well, we continue to be the church, even without a building. Boy, I'm excited about that. Let's take a look at number two. Second thing we've learned during this pandemic, we need one another more than ever we ever understood. So it's important when we take a look at that. The days of Lone Ranger Christians are really non-existent. We need one another more than we ever understood before. So it's important when we recognize, letter A, we need each other because for encouragement. When we look here at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, says Hebrews 10, 25, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." I did not realize how deeply I needed you. I needed one another. I missed everyone. Even as a pastor, I missed each other's faces that smiled. I missed each other's words of encouragement. I missed that. I missed each other's hugs, positive attitudes. Boy, that was important. We missed and needed one another's encouragement. That was important. One of the reasons that we meet together isn't just for worship, and it isn't just to listen to your pastor. It's because we need each other's encouragement. And a lot of people are finding that's really what's been missing in their life. We don't simply show up to receive, we actually show up to give as well. And that's very fulfilling. We have a new awareness of that. That's something we've learned during this season going through the pandemic. Letter B, take a look at that. We need each other for health and growth. I like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. I think it says it so clearly. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So not only do we need one another in encouragement, we need spiritual growth. We need spiritual health. It's important. And it comes and helps by reason. The byproduct of gathering together is just that. The product of coming together is that we become healthier individually and collectively, and we grow. I think the months of isolation has caused a real demise in the elements of growth and health in the lives of people. It's important for us to recognize it makes you unhealthy to isolate. It really has been. We've discovered that. It's important for a reason why so many of us have decided we need to kind of open up the church again, say, man, we need to do whatever we can to open up Hope Chapel because people are suffering with isolation. We've helped ourselves and created a healthy environment because now we're seeing very obviously that now we are growing individually, collectively too. We're finding that we are changing, we're learning, we are encouraging, we are loving and expressing that love. And hope is being renewed. It's so exciting to see those things happen. Let's take a look at number three. The influence of the church is society's only hope. We are discovering that. How much more so in this day and age? The influence of the local church, this church, is society's only hope. Oh, friends, please hear me out, because the followers of Jesus must have really a direct impact upon the culture, upon the society. Check it out when Jesus said this in Matthew 5, 13 through 14. Let me just put two phrases in there. It literally says, you are the salt of the earth. Jesus said that. You are the light of the world. We recognize that. Literally, Jesus says, now you are the salt of the earth. Now you are the light of the world. You don't try to work up to be salt. You don't try to develop your little beam light to become light. Now you already are. It's important. The world will plunge literally into destruction and darkness if there is not salt and light. Please hear me out. We've recognized this, the influence of this church. This church is really the society here's only hope. And so if you can imagine, salt is an ancient preservative that without salt, things spoiled or perished or got rotten. It was just the way it was. That's what happens in our culture. You remove the influence of the church from our society right here, and all of a sudden, culture gets rotten. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that where there's church not able to influence the society? Light, Jesus says you are the light of the world. Therefore, light dispels darkness. But when the church, again, is removed from the culture, then darkness comes in. People have no bearing, no direction, and it seems like evil seems to be reigning when there is no light from the influence of the church. You matter. We matter. We're discovering that. It's so important. All that is left without the church is darkness, and people can't find their way. People are literally bound because they're not sure what direction. I like what Jeremiah 29:7 says in the New Living Translation. Check it out. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. Now, without peacemakers, without the church, the welfare of the city will suffer. You are those peacemakers. That's how important you are. That's how important we are. The church is the society's only hope. It is the only hope. We're finding that Jesus wants us to continue to work. Pray for the peace of the city that he has sent you. Because in its welfare, you're going to find you will do well. Your welfare will come. So where there is no peace, where there is no opportunity, don't you find people start to go into violence? We're seeing that, are we not? It's critical. They resort to violence where there is no peace and there's no prosperity. Pray for the peace and pray for the prosperity of the city that you're at. That's important. It's a vital area. The church really is the bridge builder between both sides. That means we understand and listen to both sides. Boy, hope and action means, wow, I've got the solution for our society. Therefore, we really do care about our society, do we not? We do care about injustice. We do care about inequality. We care about racism. We want to make sure things are handled that way. We want opportunities for all people. That's the way Christians roll. It's very important. The welfare of the city will determine our own welfare. Please understand that. It's important for us to get out there. The role of the church in society is the only hope that society has. Number four, our need to stay on mission is greater than it's ever been. This is a Mission Sunday. I want to highlight that. We are recognizing that. Our need to stay on mission. This is where you and I need to engage. It's so important because the enemy is trying to get us off of mission and get us isolated to stay off mission. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Let's take a look at that. You see that on your screen. New Living Translation. Stay alert. Watch out. Your great enemy, the devil, the prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. So it's important when we take a look at intentionally that enemy that we have an enemy of our soul. He is fighting against us. He really is. Stay on mission. Stay on mission. It has been increasing. Has anybody ever seen, do you feel that all of a sudden, that it seems like the works of darkness feel like they're in the fourth quarter, that somehow things are getting shorter for evil and it's working more severely in a violent way? Have you noticed that? We've got to stay on mission. We've got to stay alert, stay on a firm ground and hold fast because as we protect those things that we hold true. But watch out, because sometimes we're thinking that we are needing to stay isolated, but the world really needs us. Satan is always wanting to pull us off mission, always. Can you hear what I'm saying? I hope the Holy Spirit can just help you to realize how he works in darkness, trying to pull you and me separate from each other and diminish our impact. Let me share how that works. It's called deception. Deception that's happening, I'm seeing, and so many are seeing, because we need to stand firm. There is an intentional attempt to deceive even the body of Christ, even Christians. Now, deception means that there is a thought that what is really a lie we think is actually a truth. It's a deception. So let's look at that. First of all, where does a deception come from? Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 44, because Jesus is speaking to a crowd, and he just realizes they're not getting it, and they're not going to listen to what he has to say. Matter of fact, they're going to oppose him and eventually arrest and kill him. But in John chapter 8, verse 44, would you go ahead and write that down? You can see it now as well. Jesus says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." If you look now at verse 45, "Yet because," Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." You can literally tell a person truth and they think, no, that's a lie. What a deception. And Jesus just says, listen, you're being deceived because your father, the devil, who is the initiator of all lies. Be careful about this. Satan seeks to control people through deception. How is that happening? Please track with me a little bit, because we want to stay on mission, but listen just a little bit. How is it? Because most of the time we train ourselves to be spiritually and mentally alert, and it's important for us to be that way, but people are not being woke, they're being deceived and being led down a path by the enemy. For example, how else can you explain 120 days of rioting and people do not demand that this stops? How else can we explain the irrational fears that people are having these days? How else can you explain the removal of basic freedoms we all enjoyed just a few months back? How else can you explain the rational people thinking it's a good idea to defund the police? How else can you explain rioters destroying property and endangering lives, and they don't have consequences, are not punished, but yet it becomes illegal for a church to assemble together? These are deceptions. Satan hates truth. He is a liar and the father of lies, and it's very real. And I'm just saying, as a pastor, stay on mission. Be careful. These are the days, and you're now in it, where there's a deception that is going on. See, the devil wants people to believe his lies and get them based basically on a lie. When people obey a lie, he's happy. That's a deception. This is truth. This is the way it is. No, watch out. So we're basically under assault like never before. Our society, our nation is under assault. You take a look at media or Facebook or TV programs or government systems, they are all caught up to some extent in lies, deceptions. So we must understand we are under attack like never before. It's important for us to recognize, stay on mission. It's so important. That mission, once again, boy, the only hope our society has is the truth of God's word and the gospel. Let's just consider the headlines of some major news that if you were to read them, some of these words, and let's see what they feel like to you. What do you feel like when I read these headlines? Here they are. Here's one. Stay home, save lives. Here's another headline. Don't be responsible for killing somebody else. Can you imagine what a lie that is? Here's another one. If you don't comply to the restrictions, it's your fault we are still in those restrictions. What a lie that is. If that were true, who would ever want to ride and drive their cars again? Believe these lies, you would stay sheltered forever. Be careful. See, Satan uses people. Once he deceives people, then he uses those deceived people. They don't even know it, but he uses those deceived people to keep the deception going. Can we find that in Scripture? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Check it out with me. But I am not surprised, the Apostle Paul writes. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. So it's no wonder. His servants, they don't even know they're being manipulated. They buy into the deception. Hey, this is the way it should be. And they propagate it and push for that to happen. It's interesting. And those that are deceived are being used to help promote a demonic narrative. Friends, that's what's happening. It's important for us to know the Word of God. It really comes right down to that. We're actually thinking that people who just buy into that deception, they really, really think that they're doing the right thing. That's how powerful deceptions are in our day and age. It really comes down to the light versus darkness. It is that drastic. It is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. It is also the truth versus error. It's spiritual versus flesh. It is that opposite. Be careful about that. That's why Ephesians chapter 6 says that this struggle that we're in is not flesh and blood. It is spiritual wickedness in high places. It's so important for you and I to remember that there's a demonic realm and the devil knows his time is short. Scripture was clear about this. There will be a deception and that the soon return of Christ should come, so that even the very elect can still be saved. It's important for us. So it's easy for us to get angry with politicians, isn't it? It's easy to get angry with our elected officials over our governors and our mayors. But listen, we have to be careful. Those situations, there are people that can be influenced by works of darkness. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 says, test all things. Hold on or hold fast to what is true. Stand firm against the deceptions. It's important for you to know that. So how do you do that? I'm hoping somebody would ask that right there in your family room or there in your sitting area. How do we do that? Well, we want to stand firm knowing God's word. It's important for us to know God's word. That's why we've been looking at the Bible, the handwriting of God. If you look at our series over the last couple of months, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that the Word of God is inspired by God. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's given for the benefit of man. So it's important for us. Test the truth by the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse 106. Psalm 19, 106, you can write that one down. It says, the entirety of your Word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So absolute truth. God's word is unchanging. It's eternal. Cultures change. That's important for us. But the word of God is the standard to evaluate, are these things true? Absolute truth. Many people no longer believe in absolute truth. They don't think that exists anymore. It's relative. which means basically, what if I feel a certain way, then that becomes the normal. Hopelessness really is lost, and it can't find a direction when people are just kind of saying, well, this is what I believe to be true, and they never base it on the Word of God. It's like somebody out on the Bering Sea, and they're going to just navigate without any form of a compass that says what's north, south, east, or west. You can get going, you can navigate, but you won't find your way back. You will not find your way back. You will be lost. That's what's happening in our society. People that we know, it's important they discover those things. Let me give you an example. That's a good example. This is an example, and I want you to see how the Word of God will just bring an ease and just cut through that, because I've had these questions that have been presented to me, and here's a very hot, controversial topic right now. Here it is. And the question is posed, should we be held responsible for the sins of people hundreds of years ago? And should we feel guilty for the actions of others? And should I embrace a form of collective guilt? Well, no. And the Bible says so. Let me show you in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. Check it out with me. It's on your screen. It says this, the person who sins is the one who will die. The child will not be punished for the parent's sin. And the parent will not be punished for the children's sins. Righteous people will be rewarded for their own righteous behavior, and wicked people will be punished for their own wickedness. So the Bible talks about individual responsibility. I like it when I take the Bible and say, wow, that really helps me when I check that out. So for those who are talking what happened generations ago and then try to prescribe guilt upon my generation, that's not biblical. It's not right. The Bible says that's wrong to somehow. And those kinds of conversations will divide us when people get into, once again, a deception that is not true. Instead of letting us kind of work it, that's what I love about America. We recognize some of our own faults and our traits that are wrong, even sinful. And then we see people, righteous people, step in and say, let's make it right now. That's the beauty of America. So I'm not going to stand before God and be responsible for the sins of my relatives. I'm not. That's just the way Bible wrote. I will be responsible for my own sin when I stand before God. So it's not proper for our nation to be responsible for the sins of others hundreds of years ago. Hope that's helpful for you. That's how the Bible works, and that's the importance of seeing the Scriptures. So when we see here, each generation creates its own guilt. Each generation creates its own blessing. Exodus 34 says that. Man, you can pass down the blessings to your family. You can pass down, really, the curse to your family as well. Therefore, let's do good before God. Being strong in your faith isn't simply believing. It really is living it out, isn't it? That's why our society needs to know, the church, we're discovering it more than ever before, is society's only hope. Hope in action. Oh my. I'm so glad that you're listening to this message. That's why in Hebrews 10, 25, once again, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near, boy, let's make sure we gather together. We need that encouragement. We need that health and that growth. Our job, we recognize we are still living in a county of a lot of unchurched individuals. And the world is coming into our community. Aren't we grateful? We don't even have to be missionaries anymore. We have cross-cultural plants that are coming, different languages, different cultures. Wow, we need everybody once again. So some of you, we can't wait for Jesus to come back, but I'm praying, Lord, give us more time. May our hearts weep for those that are still in darkness. They don't even know how to find their way. That's why we call them lost. Let's let God's word and let your love for humanity shine. Please don't quit. If you're doing something for God, if you're involved in your church, don't stop. This is not a time to relax. You might think that I'm going to just be done and I'm going to pass it over to somebody else who's going to pick up? If you don't have somebody who's going to pick up for you, hang in there. Ask God to strengthen you, to keep you going. We're going to navigate together these unprecedented times. It's amazing. We need the God's wisdom to know how to act and to involve ourselves in society, present God to a planet that really is needing direction, needing hope. No matter what it takes, it's important for us once again. So this is our role. It is the world's only hope, the Church of the Lord Jesus. That's why our prayer is for you even now as we just wrap this message up. Hebrews really reminds us, gather together. We need one another. But in the meantime, I like Romans 15:13. Now may the God of peace fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you once again, God's working in us to commit to serve and to follow Him. You know people that need direction in their life. Maybe you're that person right now saying, man, I think I've been living and following a deception. I want to follow and know the Word of God. Would you bow your heads with me right now and just pray this simple prayer? Oh Lord, I come to you now, and I do believe your word that says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, remove lies and deceptions that have flooded my mind and made me angry. Lord, wash me clean. Forgive me of my own sin. Come into my life to stay. Lead me, O Lord. Help me to do the best good I can for my family, my friends, and my community. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining us right now. And if you can, I'm going to follow through on this message. You'll see me addressing ways that you can contact us at Hope Chapel. Please consider, especially if you've prayed with me, to just surrender your life and to serve Him more fully. We want to do it together, not separate, together. May God bless you and thank you for joining us this Sunday. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.